Since the last lecture, I got some feedback. It seems that the theme midnight coffee struck nerves. And I wrote about that in the forum. And there has been some conversation about it. And I appreciated the comments. I appreciated the conversation because I'm aware that this is probably the main issue that everybody in the world is thinking about, not just us. That issue is relating to the difficulty we all face when we're in a situation which seems to be out of control. I feel that one of the most disturbing aspects of life occur during times when I feel I have no control over anything. Right now, during this broadcast, for reasons I am not aware of right now, I seem to have lost control over all of the cameras, even the camera doing the recording of this lecture that I post on our Harry Media page has too much light in it. Now, in the room I'm in, there's not too much light. It's normal. Yet, this phenomena is there with all the cameras. There's too much light coming from me. I don't know why. I feel that this situation reflects something. It reflects what is going on the planet today. A situation that seems to be out of control and rapidly getting more out of control. There's no need to repeat the news headlines. Obviously, any situation in Libya is going to get so much worse that we have no way to imagine it. Situations in other parts of the world will get worse, will get better. We will have these waves. For example, a wave goes very high, goes very low. There will be moments of madness and moments of peace. When we're dealing with forces, when we're dealing with power that is far greater than we are, we have these situations where our feeling of control is very much challenged. Our capacity to control is very much diminished. I think that our situation is very much resting in our own personal capacity to control our environment, to control our life, and so on. Now, one of the main discussions, if not the main discussion, in regards to feedback about that lecture, Midnight Coffee, was that there seems to be a strong feeling that we have the power to control. We have the power to make change. If we simply want it enough, it will happen. And there is another group which says Yes, to a certain extent, we can do that. And that is true to a certain extent. But under certain circumstances, when certain situations have developed, our capacity to influence situations is greatly reduced. Perhaps even we may feel we don't have any capacity to control. If you think about it, this seems to be very similar to the traditional discussion of free will versus predestination. If you studied philosophy, you will know that there was this discussion throughout history that everything is already determined and we are just playing out roles that have already been determined for us. And the other side was saying, no, we have free will at every moment to do what is right. There's also in spiritual discussion the dichotomy where one group thinks that everything that comes to us from mercy from above, and the other group thinks, no, it is all a function of what we do, how hard we work, how sincere we are. So this present discussion about that lecture midnight coffee is not different. It is again the dichotomy between what an individual can do or what an individual in a group can do and what the universe or fate or destiny or karma can do or is doing. And I myself personally always try to situate myself in the middle of this discussion. I do not believe, it is not my experience, that I as an individual or I as an individual in a group have absolute control over any situation. Neither do I believe that there is some destiny or fate or higher authority making everything happen and I'm a puppet. I feel it is a combination of these two things, always. Just as anything I do right now is a combination of everything that has happened before, which has created my mentality, my consciousness, my situation, my environment, plus my free will, my desire, my intelligent choice that I make, how to respond to that which has manifested as a series of consequences to previous events. So my present moment is an intricate combination between all that has taken place and my choice how to respond to it. And I do not see this present moment as any different than that. Now, that means, yes, I can wish blessings. I can desire health for others. I can desire security and healing for others. I can desire that. I can gather together with others in a group, and I can send, we can send our energy of healing and curing. We can do that because that's our choice. It is not wrong to do it. It is not foolish to do it. It is not a waste of time. It's what we as individuals choose to do because we feel it's right. We as individuals feel it is right to do that, to make that choice. To make that choice and express our spirituality, to express the essence we are, to express the being we are, to send good energy, to pray for others, to try to bring the mercy or the energy or the love of the divine to this world. It is our choice to do so. It is also correct to say that whether or not that succeeds depends on a lot of factors. It depends to a large extent on the situation that we are sending energy to. It is a question of power. Is our love more powerful than the forces of destruction that are already set into motion? Is the power of good greater than the power of selfish exploitation? And is our timing appropriate? Are we there in time? Or has time already gone by and situations are in motion which are out of our control? Physical events have already accumulated to such an extent that these forces of nature are resounding, reverberating, are creating reactions that cannot be stopped by good thoughts, good energy, or love. I don't know the answers to either of these questions. I don't know if our sending good energy and love can save things. I do know that I don't care. I do know that I shall continue to do so. Whatever capacity I have to help, to be of service, I shall express simply because it is what I am. And because it is what I am, I don't feel it is essential to be guaranteed a result. After all, there are so many unknown factors in creation and existence that can derail any action or event I make at any time. If I didn't do anything out of fear that something I do will not work or it will not be effective or whatever, then my life will shrink to a mere shadow of what it could be. That does not mean I should not try to do things the best I can, or I should not try to use my intelligence to make it better, or to research the best way to do things. I'm only speaking about my motivation here. That my motivation to do whatever it is I do is something born of my own consciousness, something born of myself that I am. And that I shall express under all circumstances, when I'm needed and where I have capacity and desire, I shall do. At the same time, I'm very aware of situations, of consequences that have already manifested, that have already turned into potential or events that are in motion, events that I cannot change, things that I know I cannot change, things that I'm very aware are out of my control. I have known for, I don't know, as long as I've been an adult, that I cannot affect government. If they listened to me, of course, I would have given them good advice. But I don't know if that would have meant anything anyway, because after all, everybody is doing what they have to do out there in government, and to be a politician means you're so compromised by lobbyists, by interests, by party loyalty, by needing to get reelected. I can't influence that simply because I think something's right. And there'll be other people who think quite the opposite is right. I've given up on that. Not because I don't care. I care a lot. But because I looked at that mess and I realized my input into it is not significant. Some elections, I look at the people on the ballot and I say it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. They're both the same. They're just reflections of each other. They don't say very much different. And even if they did, when they get in office, they're going to do the same thing. It doesn't matter who they are. Circumstances, requirements, pressures drive them to do so. I see that right now with this Libyan situation. I don't need to tell you the ramifications of such an action which they're going to take. I don't need to tell you. If you have intelligence, if you are aware of the news, you'll know what will happen. I could go through a whole political analysis of the ramifications through the Arabic world. But I won't. I'm not a politician. I don't want to give you political analysis. I don't want to start predicting things, because it'll just create fear. I already dove into it last week from the natural point of view, but sometimes I regret that, because a lot of people are very impressionable. And anyway, my only message last week was, be prepared for anything. Think, be prepared, be aware. Understand your own situation. Understand what you can control and what you cannot. How much influence you have over your environment and your security, and how much influence you do not have. And try to compensate for what you don't have. Try to compensate and protect yourself. That's all I'm saying. So all of these discussions that relate specifically to the dichotomy of individual control versus higher authority and things that are out of control, all boil down to the same aspects of life we have always dealt with every moment of our lives, wherever we have been, whichever lifetime. The situation that is there now in the world did not just arise. We, as human beings in this society, whatever it is, have created this situation. We have nurtured it. It has been developing for years. It has historical roots even down to the biblical times. It is something which is simply a step-by-step development of historical, cultural, religious, political, economic consequences. We've made choices. We're reaping the results of those choices on all levels. It is not surprising. I personally felt this way in the 60s, in my revolutionary era, when I felt that we had the responsibility to change the world our parents gave us. And then I thought, I will change the world with spirituality, with bringing the message of God. And then I realized that, well, that takes a lot better people than I knew. So I thought in the early 80s, actually 79, 80, we will give them some knowledge which they didn't have before in social arrangement. And that I saw very clearly at that time what was going to happen if we continued on this path that we have chosen to take as a planet. And now we are there. And it gives me absolutely no pleasure whatsoever to say I was right. It is the most absurd thing for me to say. No pleasure whatsoever. And now I'm just scratching my head all day and awareness of things that are is shattering my consciousness. The ether is completely shattered. There is no way to function in it on the energetic level because it's totally shattered. So I'm in survival mode right now, trying to figure out how to keep afloat in this. It's like a broken, huge broken window shattering, and trying to figure out how to deal with it. And at the same time, knowing that, yeah, sure, in the future, it'll settle down. Of course, it always does. How it settles down does not depend on some mysterious force. Again, this divine intervention. Some mysterious force that's going to come down and make it right. Or that all the bad people are mysteriously going to be killed. That idea has been embraced by religionists, I don't know, since as long as one can historically document it, that there's the good guys and there's the bad guys. The good guys are the devotees, it depends on your faith. The bad guys are the demons or the sinners. And the good guys will ultimately defeat the bad guys because good ultimately defeats evil. But what does ultimately mean? If you have good, it defeats evil, but then later on evil defeats good. And then good ultimately defeats evil. So all you have really said is that good wins sometimes. Maybe good wins half the time. So if you say good ultimately defeats evil, you've basically said, well, at least half the time it does so. And then you never said that evil never comes back. Evil always figures its way back. What is this evil jazz anyway? It is simply our choice. Some of us are selfish. Some of us exploit. Some of us do the most evil things in total idealism, thinking ourselves the representatives of God. So this good and evil jazz, very complex, not clear. Those who think themselves quite good are not very good. Those who think themselves quite bad, not all that bad. It's a complex mixture of good and bad at all times, just as it's a complex mixture of the control you have over situations and events which have already been put into motion that we have lost control over. It's bigger than us. And what is very interesting at this moment is that the events which have been placed into motion by leaders, not only political leaders, but economic leaders, those who pull the strings, those who create products which end up harming us, or those who create frequencies which end up screwing us up, or even shattering the structure that holds together this planet. The choices each of us have made, the choices we make as individuals in a time of crisis, shall we reach out our hand to our fellow human being, or shall we rob and loot and cause damage and destruction by taking what we want and get and exploiting and controlling others? These are choices we have all made. And all of these choices have already created a motion which is moving forward that is bigger than all of us. Even though everybody did what they did independently, it is a general mood, a general direction of selfish exploitation that is moving forward and has become bigger than all of those in it. Even amongst those who think they're pulling the strings, they have this crazy idea that all religionists have. They may have no religion, or they may have a lot of it, or they may feel that they are superior, but they have the same exact idea, that the good guys are mysteriously going to live and all the bad guys are mysteriously going to die. And this idea just amazes me with its foolishness. It's like a child's fantasy. Because the mechanisms by which this is supposed to take place are not very apparent anywhere. Okay, you can say there's God and God will make it happen, because God's on the side of the good guys and God wants the good. So God will arrange this destruction with our help, because this is the mission of God, to destroy the bad guys. And the best way to destroy the bad guys is to make them fight amongst themselves for selfish, exploitative means, and to just make themselves so crazy with whatever it is they're doing, their drugs or their sex or their immorality or their destruction of families or whatever values. Let them all destroy each other. And yet, people who think like that don't understand there is only one of us, that we share energy. We create our space. We create the energy within which we live by our mutual sharing of what we are with the ether that is all pervasive around all of us. So we are feeding the etheric field within which we all live. The good guys, the bad guys, and everybody in between are all doing the same thing. And we are all absorbing the results of what we share. Whether we like it or not, whether we think we can or not, we think we are love, so we pump out love. But you can't pump out love all the time. Sometimes you don't feel love. Sometimes you don't feel loving. Sometimes you're too weak. Sometimes you're open and sad, or you just absorb that which is there. Or else it rubs off on you, or it's around you. Or all of a sudden you just say, what about me? So what I was saying last week basically means, be aware of all this stuff and take care. Be prepared. Know your weakness. Deal with it. Don't try to be more than you are. Don't take shelter of the fact that you're good and God's going to save you, or that God has some interest to destroy. There's good and bad in everybody. Do you think there's a line? Let's say you're 45% bad and 55% good. You're okay. But if you're 48% bad, you go over the line. Do you think there's a line at which that mixture of good and bad becomes so bad that now you have to be destroyed? Do you think God has a line? Okay, sure. When there's a lot of heavy bad, maybe. But look at the Battle of Kurukshetra. There was a pile of good guys in it. Tons of good guys. If not one of the best of all the guys, Grandfather Bhishma. People say it's to destroy the bad guys. But wait a minute, the destruction killed all the good guys, except for a handful of good guys. And then they died. And there was only one of their children left. So God may say, sure, I will kill the bad guys because they're bad, you know. But he never said, I wouldn't kill the good guys. What about the fact that God said, you're all finished. Get rid of all of you. You're all useless. Because you good guys didn't make it good. It ended up bad. Well, you good guys must have been part of it. Did anyone ever think of that? Of course, that challenges everybody's religious beliefs. The good want to feel that we're so good. The bad should be killed, not us. They're the ones who make the problem, not us. But we used to say in the 60s, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. Yet what is the solution? I don't know. Because there is no solution. There's only life. And every moment we make a choice, and every moment we make a decision, we are on our own border between good and bad. There have been times in my life I have struggled over decisions to do what was absolutely the best thing for as many people as I could think of, or at least those who counted. I've researched and struggled and questioned and asked and tried to figure out, what should I do? And then when I did what I thought was absolutely right, later on, it will come back to me that it was bad. Wrong. It's amazing. Even though you try so hard to do what is right, to be good, it doesn't necessarily mean it will be that way. Because what is good and what is bad is all relative. I may think I did good. 10 other people might think I did bad. I might be very surprised. What are you talking about? But they feel like that. This good and bad jazz is very complex. Therefore, the message is, at this moment in time, our personal responsibility, our personal integrity, to be the very best we can be. Not that we should be good or we should be bad. These terms are not relevant. The only relevance is we should be the best we can possibly be by considering our choices every moment, to try to focus our life, to be a proper expression of the integrity of being we are, to properly express essence we are, in whatever way we can. And if we decide to get together as a group and do something wonderful for the sake of the world, then fine. Let's do it. But not with the idea that we're going to change the world. We're going to try to express what we are. You know, it boils down to Bhagavad Gita. You can perform your duty, but don't be attached to the result, because you have no right to that result. You have no right to demand the result is this way, or it's that way. We do what we can do according to who we are, with the greatest sincerity, in a focused way, not careless. Because right now, carelessness, being cloudy and not focused, is one of the greatest problems. to be cloudy, to be not focused, to not care, to be careless, to not be mindful. This is indeed the real enemy. And to do what we can do in the best way we can do it, and to develop our lives, develop our circumstances, develop our facilities as an expression of that intention will benefit us, those around us, and the world in the best possible way. Because you will see, people are confused right now. They are thinking and they are a little cloudy and a little confused, and some are incredibly confused. And when you're in a situation where the majority of those around you are not clear, it is 100 times more important that you are. Because often your survival will depend on that. And the decision to let go will hit you. You will face it. You will have to face the decision to let go, even of things you hold dear, even of things which you would embrace as the most loved persons, the most loved objects. Sometimes you will come into a situation where you will be faced with a choice, often without even time to consider it, that you must let go. You must let go and save yourself. You must let go or save those who you can. I think of all things I'm saying, this is the most important message. Because when things are out of control, the choices you make are limited. The choices you have the option or luxury to make are very limited. You may only be offered, for example, the option of escaping there or escaping there. And either form of escape will cause harm, either to yourself or others. And yet you may only have a split second to make that decision. Or even 1 minute. The longer the time is to make that decision, the worse it will be because of the back and forth that goes on in the head. But you have to be prepared for that circumstance. It's something they teach you in special operations in the military or when you're a spy or whatever, how to instantly have your mind ready instantly to make a decision to even choose the lesser of the two evils instantly. Normally, people don't have to do this. Normally, people aren't faced with this. But the situations that are going on now are going to put each of us in this situation at one point or another. We're going to face having to make choices and letting go. You think you're a spiritualist, yet detachment can be extremely troublesome. Letting go. All of a sudden, boom. Detachment goes way deeper. Or it's the demands of attachment go way deeper than we can imagine. Especially in times like these. So as you can see, I'm not talking about any particular catastrophe or any particular war or any particular economic crisis that develops from it or any particular insanity on the part of a local community or your own personal insanity. I'm talking about the generic basic principle of survival. The very basic principle of survival is to be always alert, like a squirrel who's eating a nut and is very aware of everything going on around. And if any movement takes place which approaches it out of the ordinary, it's gone. Drops the nut, it's gone. Nut may be good, but survival is better. Because if you survive, there'll be other nuts. If you don't survive, there won't be any nuts. It's an animal instinct. Right now, for us to be very much in contact with the animal energy, the vegetable energy, is very important. Because the human energy is shattered. But the animal energy and vegetable energy, the nature, and the nature of that animal instinct is to feel the earth, feel nature. Like the elephants who ran from the tsunami long before the humans could figure out what was going on. Feeling nature, to have the feeling of that animal who steps on the earth, where earth and the feet are very much in tune, where the feeling of the vibration, the feeling of the energy is so in tune, where we are so in tune using our energetic essence and awareness to contact nature, to feel nature, to feel what nature is feeling, to feel what nature is doing. And when nature gives the warning signal, which it does, nature always warns. Nature gives that vibrational aberration that warns. And the animals go, because they're in tune, they go, what? Feel it. Feel the nature. Be in tune with the animal consciousness. So incredibly important for survival. And the nature of plants that just know it's their surroundings so well because all their roots are intertwined. Under the earth, all the roots of all the plants are intertwined in this mesh and network of information, where information is shared in that root network. Feel like that. Feel your roots in the earth. Feel your sensitivity. Feel your awareness, because it's that nature which will mean the difference between life and death. To have the intelligence, to have the capacity to see what's happening in your local situation. Because you look in the world, you know exactly what's happening. Sure, they think they're protecting some people in Libya. Are you kidding me? They never cared about Libya. Okay, some people in Libya are being killed. Some people are being killed in Somalia. Some people were being killed between the Tutsis and the other guys down there. In Africa, genocide has like been going on all the time down there in that continent. Nobody ever gave a damn before. Why are they giving a damn now? Well, look what money's involved, or what oil is involved, or whatever. Or maybe the leaders of Arab worlds are looking very carefully. What's happening? What are they going to do? My people are doing the same thing. If I can't stop them with force, then what's left for me? Because I'm not giving up. All my money's involved in this. Power. I don't even have to tell you about things that that man in Libya has been supporting. You probably know. And where do you think those things are? And what's going to happen with them? Figure it out. I don't want to say. Use your brain. And it's amazing that people think there's some good in this. And they think there's some good in this. And imagine the amazing United States, which is all draining all its money in worthless, needless wars. And people say, no, let's not do that. And yet here's another. They elected the man who said we're going to stop doing that. And here's another. And what's different? So much you change it, so much it stays the same. Because Earth is hell-bent, being pushed by its energy of exploitation, of selfishness, even in the name of idealistic humanitarianism. Self-interest, economic interest, with some ideals that make no sense in historical context. And it will go on. So what can we do? Here's where we're helpless. You can send all the good energy you want to the leaders of this earth. They are so absorbed in their own complexes of contradictions, they're not going to feel it. It takes receptivity to feel. So it's out of our control. What is in our control? What's in front of us? Who we are, who we associate with. I've been speaking about community for a long time. But because people think that what we have now is going to always be that way, maybe it is, I don't know. They don't really care about community. For me, community simply means you're together with other people you can talk to, that if you had to do things together, you knew you could count on them to do things together when you had to. You could live with them. You don't have to agree with everything they say, or you don't have to want to do everything with them, but you just know that you're there when you need it, just like families. Family. You know that your family is there when you need them, generally. No matter what happens, at least you know your family is there when you need them. You can depend on them, generally. The community's like that, where you can generally depend on your community. Do you honestly think in that apartment building in Moscow, you can depend on your neighbors? You don't even know who they are. Don't expect that all of a sudden things will be fine, because ultimately people are ruled by self-interest. In a community, they're also ruled by self-interest, but it's in their self-interest to cooperate. It's in the self-interest of the community to work together. That's why there have been villages throughout history. Because in the village, some people grew food. When it was time for harvest, everybody harvested. Some people made shoes. Some people carved furniture. And so on. You get the picture. People work together to do things together for each other in that very small localized area. And they had children, and their children took over tasks and so on. That whole concept of community is lost, gone. So you need to have it, because when you need it, it is going to really be the most important thing you've ever done. That you can actually have somebody that you can turn to and say, hey, let's do this. Let's work together. I actually had not intended on speaking on on any of these points today. I had a whole different topic in mind. And yet, it seems to me this message is very important because there's an urgency to it. It's a deliberated urgency, or a deliberate urgency. These are not really compatible terms, but what I'm saying here is that one has to be very focused, very aware, not at all careless, and deal with this urgency with a very calm, focused, concentrated intention.